The processional hymn number 55, Let This Day Be Holy. Welcome, everybody, to the Church of the Ascension this morning. On this fifth Sunday before Advent, our service is that of morning prayer and the litany, beginning with the opening greeting on page 101. Today, we particularly focus on and give thanks for the life of Bishop Gordon MacMullan, formerly bishop of this diocese, who has recently died. The Lord be with you. The righteous will be remembered forever. The memory of the righteous is a blessing. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, open our lips, O God, make speed to save us.
Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. On page 120, the traditional form of the canticle Jubilate. Oh, be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. On page 697, the psalm appointed for this morning is number 90, verses 1 to 6 and 13 to 17. The 90th psalm, verses 1 to 6 and 13 to 17 on page 697, which we shall say by alternate division of verses. Lord, you have been our refuge. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the earth and the world were formed, you turn us back to dust and say,
"Turn back, O children of earth."
For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday.
Which passes like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away like a dream.
They fade away suddenly like grass.
In the morning it is green and flourishes. Turning to verse 13. Turn again, O Lord, how long will you delay?
Have compassion on your servants.
Satisfy us with your loving kindness in the morning,
that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Give us gladness for the days you have afflicted us,
and for the years in which you have seen mercy.
Show your servants your works. May the gracious favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book Deuteronomy, chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab, near Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him, and the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. On page 130, the canticle, Urbs Fortitudinis.
We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for our rock of ages is the Lord. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou that art upright dost direct the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, shall be forever. Amen.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?"
They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet?'" David thus calls him Lord. How can this be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. On page 122, the traditional form of the canticle Benedictus.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a mighty salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be safe from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our forefathers, and to remember his holy covenant, to perform the oath which he sware to our forefather Abraham, that he would give us.
On page 112, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the King. Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness. O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord. O God, may clean our hearts within us. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, help us to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We join in the first and second collects at morning prayer. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From Thanks and Praise, the hymn number 11, Before the Throne of God Above.
Thank you.
pray in the words of the Litany on page 175. Let us pray. God the Father, Creator of heaven and earth. God the Son, Redeemer of the world. God the Holy Spirit, Giver of life. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God. Save us, good Lord, from all sin and wickedness, from pride, hypocrisy, and conceit, from envy, hatred, and malice, and all uncharitableness. From sins of thought, word, and deed, from the lusts of the flesh, from the deceits of the world and the snares of the devil. From fire, storm, and flood, from disease, pestilence, and want, from war and murder, and from dying unprepared. From all false doctrine, from hardness of heart, from contempt of your word and commandment, and from the evil of schism. In times of sorrow and in times of joy, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment. Save us, Lord Christ, by the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your birth, childhood, and obedience, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation. In your ministry and word and work, by your mighty acts of power, and by your preaching of the kingdom. By your agony and trial, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your mighty resurrection, by your glorious ascension, and by your sending of the Holy Spirit. Hear us, good Lord. Govern and direct your holy church, fill it with love and truth, and grant it that unity which is your will. Give your church courage to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations. Give knowledge and understanding to bishops, priests, and deacons, that by their life and teaching they may proclaim your word. Give all people grace to receive your word and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Bless all who have erred and are deceived into the way of truth. Guard and bless our rulers, especially Charles, our King, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, the Secretary of State, Chris Heaton Harris, and all the government, that they may trust in you and seek your honor and glory. Yes. Bless our country and give grace, wisdom, and understanding to all in authority. Yes. Bless the European nations and draw us closer to one another in justice and freedom. Yes. Bless those who administer the law, that they may uphold justice in honesty and truth. Bless and keep all who maintain peace and safety. Give to all nations unity, peace, and concord. Strengthen the faithful, comfort and help the faint-hearted, raise up those who fall, and drive out all evil. Support and encourage all who are in poverty, unemployment, or distress. Protect those whose work is dangerous and keep in safety all who travel. Yes, keep fathers, mothers, and children united in their family life and give them wisdom and strength in times of stress. Yes, heal the sick, as we especially remember in hospital David Keith, Terence Haisley, and Randall McEwen. care for the old and lonely, and remembering in particular Philip and Stephen McMullen and all who are bereaved. Hear us, good Lord. Remember the poor who long to hear good news. Give us the will to strengthen them through acts of generous love. Show your pity on all victims of strife, on the homeless and the hungry, on the prisoners, and on all who live in fear. Forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and turn their hearts. Guide and direct all who influence others through the written or the spoken word, and inspire all who serve mankind in science, industry, and art. Bless and keep all your people. Teach us to use the resources of the earth to your glory, that all may share in your goodness and praise you for your loving kindness. Savior of the world, forgive our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may amend our lives according to your holy word and share with all your people the joys of your eternal kingdom. Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, bearer of our sins, Jesus, Redeemer of the world. Hymn 457, Pour Out Thy Spirit from on High.
Thank you. Grant, O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today, I invite you all to remember the life and ministry of Bishop Gordon MacMullen. We have lost a man who for some 17 years was our Father in God, our bishop, our friend. And notwithstanding his somewhat early retirement in 1997, and his quite low public profile since, we mourn his passing, and we will miss him. At the same time, I know that he would want this worship to be shot through with beams of God's glory. For the promise of glory which sustained Dr. MacMullen throughout his life found its source in that great truth which was the bedrock of his whole life and ministry. The great truth which begins the liturgy at every funeral service in the Anglican Church. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Today we celebrate the life of a man who did believe this and who embodied it, and who, in an extraordinarily gracious way, was able to help so many of us to believe, to trust, to discover our own truest lives through that great promise. Bishop MacMullen loved to see, and he loved to see into. Let me explain exactly what I mean. He had a prophetic gift of seeing deeply, of capturing a vision. And another senior cleric once said, "Bishop MacMullen, he could see around corners," meaning he had the gifts of wisdom and foresight which allowed him to be well prepared for what was experienced by those around him as an unforeseen crisis. And of course, this gift was the perfect one for the ministry he exercised, both as a parochial clergyman in the parishes of Knock and of St. Brendan's Sydenham, and then as a diocesan bishop, first in Clogher and later here in Down and Dromore, exercising the ministry of episcope. In the New Testament, the Greek word episcope has two meanings. Firstly, it means seeing or looking around or looking over. It is close to the word panorama. It's about standing back and seeing. It is the psalmist's prayer to be set upon a rock that is higher than I. It's standing in a high place where you can really oversee. And the word in this sense is used many times in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The high place for Gordon MacMullen was the room where he prayed and studied each day. I believe that his faithful attention to prayer was not out of virtue, but out of need. With those times, he could see and his vision was renewed. Other things followed. And we all know and give thanks to God for some of the fruits of his vision. For instance, the building up of the church in this diocese and beyond, not least during his leadership of Down and Dromore during the decade of evangelism in the 1990s. The word episcope has a second meaning in the New Testament. It's found in the letter to the Hebrews and the first letter of Peter. Here it means, see to it that. See to it that. It means pay careful attention and ensure that things are done right, the things that need to be done. And theologian Ian Paul writes that to exercise episcope, as the New Testament describes it, is to have, if you like, the helicopter-like quality and ability to rise up high, see the overall lie of the land, but then to drop down low and pay attention to particular things that need to be dealt with. Bishop McMullen did not try to avoid this often demanding part of episcopal ministry. When he became diocesan bishop, both in Clogher and here in Down and Dromore, he was often immersed in the many tragic and difficult situations which arose during the years of the Troubles, not least attending the seemingly unending cycle of funerals of murdered members of the security forces. The bishop focused all his pastoral, administrative, and spiritual gifts on what needed to be done, however painful, to bind up the brokenhearted and renewing the hope and the vision of the bereaved families and the diocese in general. And of course, he loved homing in on the particular. He loved visitations. He really knew the parishes and had an amazing memory for names and faces. On one occasion, he visited the home of a member of this group of parishes who is celebrating her 100th birthday. The lady concerned died some months later, and her relatives were in the congregation at a harvest thanksgiving at which he was preaching, and he identified and spoke to them. Yes, he liked to see what was going on, and he didn't miss much. But more than anything else, he wanted to see me, he wanted to see you. Following his election as bishop of this diocese, but prior to officially taking up duty, he honored a commitment he had already given as Bishop of Clogher to come as visiting preacher to the annual St. Patrick's Day service at Downpatrick. That was the occasion at which I met him for the first time, and I recall him very vividly asking me, "What is your name? Where are you working?" and so forth. And in the years which followed, he got to know his clergy really well. Bishop Gordon was one of the people I could name in my life who really, I believe, saw me. He was able to focus on those talents and virtues that he believed I had, but also very much on my fears and frailties. If you like, he called me out. He challenged me to do things I never would have envisaged doing on my own initiative. For instance, it was he who asked me to become a prison chaplain. I remember well the phone call. It was done over the phone, 8:40 in the morning. And he came straight to the point. "Robert," he said, I'd like you to help me in a particular way for a particular time. Would you take on the chaplaincy at McGabbery Prison for a period? Which, he suggested, would be for the very short term, as he had other long-term plans in mind for the chaplaincy. Before he said so, I would never even contemplated myself in that role. And so much for the short term, it was a position I held for 20 years. Those ordained for service in this diocese were asked to come for post-ordination training at the Sea House on the first Monday of each month. Of course, he was always there, participating fully in both the worship, the training, and the social aspects of the occasion. This included breakfast and later coffee in the course of the morning. It was an opportunity he took to continue to get to know us. Often he could see what I would call the potential in another person that they might not necessarily have seen themselves. Bishop Gordon MacMullen, who so lived his life in the power of the resurrection, longed to challenge and help others to come fully to life, to glorify God by becoming the unique and wonderful person God had made them to be. He was very gifted in so many ways, but as with all of us, these gifts had their shadow side. He was a gifted and forceful leader with a clear vision, but he could also be impatient with those who took a different point of view to his, sometimes disagreeing with them sharply. Although, it must be said, he never lost his sense of humor. He really could be quite mischievous, as well as disarmingly funny. I remember when I left Down Under Moore Diocese to move to Connor Diocese for my first incumbency. He was very gracious about that, and the first time I saw him was little more than a week after my move to St. Ninian's Parish. In that time, the Bishop of Connor had appointed me as one of his chaplains, and I was attending to the Bishop of Connor at a service he was at in St. Anne's Cathedral. And it turned out that Bishop MacMullen was also there. He very kindly greeted me, but made some fun of what he termed my rapid promotion. And subject turned to other things. Inevitably, in those young, carefree, and it must be said, still single days, the subject of marriage cropped up. I assured him in the time I'd left him, which was only a week, nothing had changed. The Bishop O'Connor said, "But we have faith." And Bishop Gordon, as quick as a flash, replied back, "'Tisn't faith he needs, it's women." As I said, he could be disarmingly funny. But today, let us give thanks to God for the gift of the Right Reverend Gordon MacMullen, our Father in God, our sometime bishop, our friend. Thanksgiving for his family as we extend our deep sympathy to his sons, Philip and Stephen. Thanksgiving for the staff and people of this diocese where he served and which he loved. Thanksgiving especially for his late wife, Kathleen, who loved and supported him so faithfully in his ministry over very many years. And thanksgiving for all those far and wide who have been touched and blessed by his gracious life and ministry. Thanksgiving now to Almighty God, who created him and redeemed him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we ascribe, as is most justly due, all might, majesty, praise, glory, and dominion from this time forward and forevermore. Amen. As previously announced, the loose collection this Sunday and next Sunday will be in favor of relief of the desperate plight of those in Gaza. As I said last week, this situation, the humanitarian situation, is above politics, and I do encourage you to give as generously as you possibly can. The collection hymn 681, There Is a Land of Pure Delight.
Unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace, this day and always. Could I please ask the members of the Select Vestry present to wait behind for a few moments following the service,
And also, if I could have a brief word with the organist and choir, please. Tomorrow night, Monday, the Christmas Fair Organizing Committee will meet in the rectory at 8 o'clock. On Wednesday and Saturday evenings, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. On Thursday evening, our parish quiz will take place in the Pheasant. This has always been an enjoyable occasion, and of course, it is also a fundraiser. So those attending are asked to please make a subscription of £5, which is payable at the door. And I really do encourage you to come. Sunday next is the Festival of All Saints. The service is parish communion. Again, the special collection will be in favor of Gaza relief. And being the Sunday nearest All Saints' Day, we will remember by name those from the parish who have died during the past year. Donations for the food bank may be made not just next Sunday, but actually any Sunday in November. Donations are being asked for the food bank Christmas hampers. And our parish has been particularly asked to donate bottles of Schlur and small selection boxes, which may be left here in church or at the hall, as I said, on any Sunday in November. And they will also be accepted here or at the hall on the last Tuesday of November, the 28th, from 7 to 7:30 p.m. The next meeting of the Select Vestry, the next full meeting, will take place on Monday, the 6th of November, at 7:30 in the hall. And we've now also entered the national season of remembrance, and poppies are available on the table at the entrance to the church. The recessional hymn 376, Ye Holy Angels Bright.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Amen.